It's been a difficult summer for New York City subway users. Delays and breakdowns mean that stations are often crammed full of hot, frustrated riders stuck waiting for a train. Public officials are squabbling over how to pay for upgrades. Mayor Bill de Blasio is announcing a plan today that would increase taxes on the wealthiest families in the city. Couples earning more than $1 million a year or individuals making half that would pay half a percentage more in taxes each year. That money would pay for repairs and also fund a program to make half-price tickets available to low-income riders. But Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is officially in charge of the transit system, has his own ideas about funding improvements. And one of them is to sell the naming rights for transit stations. Cuomo said last month that private money has helped other public spaces.
We've done this in the park system. It worked. We've done it with historic properties. It worked. Now we should do it with the subway system.
Now, New York is far from the only city in the country considering deals like these. Mark Bartholomew is a professor at the University at Buffalo School of Law and the author of Ad Creep, The Case Against Modern Marketing. Mark, welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I can tell by the name of your book that you'll be against these naming deals. But what is the harm? No one's going to argue that New York's subway system doesn't need this money.
Yeah, I guess I can point to at least two things. So one is the First Amendment, and that once you make one of these deals, the public entity really loses control over who gets to be part of these naming deals. They're really open to the highest bidder. And so you can see situations where maybe they inaugurate one of these programs, they have a corporate partner they like, but then someone else comes in, offers more money, and it could be a business with a somewhat unsavory character. It could be one that just doesn't seem to fit what New York City wants to represent to tourists and the rest of the world. But the First Amendment really doesn't let you pick winners and losers. So I think that is one problem.
Well, what's an example of that? You point to Portland, Oregon, right?
Yeah. So one example is Portland, Oregon, where they inaugurate a system where they would advertise on buses. And there was a marijuana supplier that wanted to advertise, and school kids take these buses. And Portland had to kind of throw up its hands and say, well, we don't have a right to block the marijuana advertiser, even though we're hoping for sort of a more genteel advertiser. The First Amendment means we really can't control who's going to advertise on our buses. Probably even more provocative than the Portland example is an Adopt-a-Highway program that was started in a southern state, and the Ku Klux Klan petitioned to be part of that program. The state tried to block them, but a court found, no, you can't block the Klan. They're just as much as anybody else who wants to participate in the Adopt-a-Highway program, they have the right to do so. You can see how that would be dissettling to maybe an entity once they started one of these naming rights programs.
But do you think that the cat is already out of the bag here? We've seen deals inked in Cleveland on bus routes in Philadelphia. Washington, D.C. is seriously considering them. It's pretty widespread already.
Yeah. It is. I think there it's not completely a done deal yet because some places are resisting. So Los Angeles recently approved a proposal to sell off naming rights to their rail stations, and then they backtracked. And the reason they did so was precisely that First Amendment concern, the concern that do we really want to lose all control over who the private partners are who are going to be able to name these stations. So you're right. There's lots of these deals going around, and it's not just public infrastructure. It's schools. It's national parklands, state parklands. But at least I hold out some hope that some entities will realize, you know, there's a cost to this. It's not always free money.
So, sure, I hear the argument, but the reason that we're even talking about this in the first place is that our public transportation system, for example, in cities across the country is woefully underfunded. The stations are in complete need of repair. Are you saying that the only solution then is to have the government fund these improvements entirely on their own?
So I think what you can say in response to that argument is, you know, there's been periods of ebb and flow when we kind of trust the government to run these kind of ventures and when we don't trust the government. And now we're at a particularly low ebb. But, you know, in all sorts of times in the past, there's been questions about, do we trust the government to pay for this? Is it worthwhile to use our tax dollars to pay for this, or is it not? And there are certain situations where it is worthwhile. You know, these are public infrastructure. They're important places economically. They're important places socially. And so sometimes, you know, we need a public solution to those sorts of things. I'll also point out here that although sometimes you hear about these naming rights deals and they really show eye-catchingly large sums, often we're not talking about tons and tons of money here. Sometimes these deals are made when you look at the fine print, and they'll help, but they don't help all that much. And so I think that brings the point into relief even more that, you know, this isn't a golden ticket. Even if you agree to some naming rights deals, it's invariably these large public infrastructure projects need public support.
Well, and to that point of the dollar amount, in 2009, the Atlantic Avenue Pacific Street Station in New York City was renamed Atlantic Avenue Barclays Center. That deal was $4 million over the course of 20 years. Does not seem like very much. But quickly before we go, I want to ask you, you wrote this book called Ad Creep. What is the strangest place you've seen ads creep into?
I think one of the wilder ones is talking urinal cakes that sell to you while you're using the bathroom. That seems particularly invasive. Also, a lot of spaces that are captive, so gas station pumps and screens in doctor's offices and supermarkets, not just talking to everyone, but actually scrutinizing your face, looking at your facial expressions and delivering a commercial pitch based on what you look like. That's something new, I think, in the history of advertising.
Huh. That's Mark Bartholomew. He's a professor at the University at Buffalo School of Law and author of the book Ad Creep, The Case Against Modern Marketing. Mark, thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks.